Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there's pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Day 38, Nancy Guthrie still missing, begging the questions, where is she? Who has her? Is she still with us? And what happened inside that Tucson home in the early morning hours of February 1st, 2026? Tonight, Surviving Survivors bringing you one of the most influential, if not the most influential, criminal profilers in the entire world to help us understand the mind behind this crime. But first, just a little bit of breaking news before we get there.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, STS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the global phenomenon, soon to be a universal phenomenon, soon to be an intergalactic phenomenon with more than 50 communities or 50 countries represented. And soon, who knows, maybe we'll have 50 planets as Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and the rest take over the world, the universe, the planets, you name it. They're taking over all of it. But back on the night, back here into terrestrial land, on the night of January 31st into February 1st, 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie, she vanished from her Catalina Foothills home in Tucson, Arizona. And since then, we've seen surveillance footage. We've seen the so-called Nest camera guy, the Nest cam guy. We've seen the massive video searches, 5 to 10,000 videos that they're apparently culling through, or at least heard about them, heard about forensic testing, DNA testing, and 5 weeks of really tough and strong, apparently, investigations. But still, no suspect, no arrest, no clear motive, no answer as to why. And tonight we're going to try something a little bit different. We're going to dig in with famed criminal profiler Dr. Ann Burgess, who is being joined tonight by Jeff Woods. Jeff Woods is a retired FBI agent from Boston who teaches alongside Dr. Burgess, and literally alongside, because tonight he's with her up in Boston. Great to see you, Jeff. Great to see you, Dr. Ann. Hope you're doing well. And last but not least on the panel, we've got retired Las Vegas homicide detective Phil Ramos, a three-time officer of the year in Vegas, 15 plus years in homicide. And prior to that, he was infiltrating the Cuban mob. But and before we get to you and Jeff and really get into the profiling aspect of this, a story broke tonight in the Arizona Republic. And Phil Ramos, I'm going to come to you first. According to this report, there were two errors in Sheriff Chris Nanos's resume, and they relate to the timeline of his service with the El Paso Police Department and the year he was promoted to captain. He got wind that this story was being written, and you know, this is going back into the 1980s, and his direct quote was to the Republic was, "That's your urgent request? You sure you don't want to go back to my high school and ask why I got swats from the principal? Good luck with your hit piece." But Phil Ramos, look, he's upset. He's calling it a hit piece. Apparently, there are errors on his resume going back to his time in El Paso and regarding a termination agreement and insubordination, things of this nature. But for a law enforcement official, especially if you're the sheriff, how important is it to be buttoned up on your past and what you did as it relates to your resume?
Well, you know, let's face it, you got to be upfront because people are going to start digging into your background and they're going to get all these little skeletons out of any closet that they can find. You know, is it significant to the progress in this case? Not at all. Is it going to affect the outcome? No. It's you know, for lack of a better term, people got nothing better to do than to find out something that the sheriff either intentionally or unintentionally left out on his resume. So what? It's got no bearing on the case at all.
Yeah. So Jeff Woods, jump in, Jeff.
I was just going to add, at the end of the day, by the time you're the chief, by the time you're the sheriff, by the time you're the head of whatever, you're giving guidance, approvals. You're not the one on the ground doing the actual work. Phil, right? Did your chief ever get down and say, you will do this in your homicide investigation? I doubt it. You briefed him on what you were doing.
Yeah.
Same thing with me, right? So, yes, you want to be tight, as Phil said, but at the end of the day, he's not the one who's doing the work that's going to put him on the stand to testify if they ever catch this person or people, if there's a conspiracy, right? So, to me, it's not...
Yep.
It's just something for us to harp on, and it's not necessary.
Yeah, Wendy Wubels agrees it's a silly thing to report on, in my opinion, but the Arizona Republic did it. Nanos resigned in lieu of termination after an argument with his supervisors in 1982. He described as insubordination and, quote-unquote, consistent inefficiency. Now, according to the department, both date discrepancies, this is according to PCSD, the Pima County Sheriff's Department, both date discrepancies were administrative in nature and were not intended to mislead or misrepresent Sheriff Nanos' work history. The corrected timelines, they state, was Nanos served in El Paso from 76 to 82. He said he served till 84, so they shaved off 2 years. He was promoted to captain in 2007. Not 2009. So he makes up 2 years there. And I just want you to weigh in on this. I mean, this is a guy who's been under fire, which is one of the reasons the story, I think, is being published. But he's not getting along with Jeff Wood's old colleagues at the FBI. He's not getting along, apparently, with the other jurisdictions. And we've had people on from Pima County, a former SWAT commander, who informed us on our show that there was a 98% vote of no confidence in Chris Nanos. So I think he's getting the heat with this quote unquote hit piece. But again, for a guy that's under the microscope, how important is it to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, Nan?
Right. Well, my concern is I agree with what has already been said. This has nothing to do with looking at this case, the Guthrie case. And I think that is just one way of avoiding it and to try to deter us from really taking a look at what went on. So I would I think we just move on. I don't see it as being anything that we have to concern ourselves with. Let's just go back to 1982. Good heavens.
Yeah. So when Ann says move on, we move on. But I try to get things on the record here at Surviving the Survivor. For the record, it was not us. It was the Arizona Republic. And it is making news tonight. And as you can tell, the sheriff is not happy about it. And to be honest, if I was him, I wouldn't be happy about it either. Dr. Ann Burgess is the author of A Killer by Design. And Ann, forgive me, but the title of your book that just came out in September is...
Expert witness.
So also a killer by design and expert witness. And you guys are going to learn more about Ann as we go on here tonight. Phil Ramos, one of the things that I'm looking for right here before we get in more depth into the profiling aspect is apparently, and this is according to some reporting I saw by Laura Engel via Brian Enton. Laura Engel works for News Nation, and she's a friend of mine. It's been confirmed, apparently, that after saying it would be returned, Annie Guthrie's car, which I believe is like I don't want to say the model because I might be wrong, but her car has still not been return to her. Phil Ramos, any reason? Here it is. It's a Honda CRV belonging to her and her husband, Thomas Cioni. It was impounded in February during the investigation. Law enforcement has said they are not considered suspects, but we heard that the vehicle was returned to the family days ago, if not weeks ago, and apparently it has still not been returned. Any thoughts as to why, Phil Ramos?
I can't imagine why it wouldn't be returned, especially after, you know, he made quite a point on saying that the family is completely eliminated as being possible suspects. So let's think about why it would be held on for this amount of time. Is there something of evidentiary value that they found in the car? Is there any manner of evidence that still has to be collected? I can't imagine that would be the case. I mean, you 6 weeks later and you're still looking for evidence, which you are, but not where you've looked 10 times over. That would be a good question. And whoever brought it up probably was just, you know, scratching around looking for things to report, because, you know, as we've all noticed, this was a 24/7 issue for up to 3 weeks afterwards. And now it's just dropped down to the bottom of the list of any newsworthy items, which it's heartbreaking, but that's the nature of this beast. You know, the detectives handling it are still handling it as well as they can. But there's going to come a point where there's no place else for them to go. And so do you rehash and go over again and again what you've done? Or, you know, man, I would hate to think that, you know, that dreaded cold case monster is going to raise its head, but you just don't know. And, you know, we still have to consider that there's a significant amount of holdback, what they're not releasing for this amount of time to have passed and there hasn't been anything of significance released tells me that, you know, they've got a couple of good things that they're hanging on to that they just don't want to reveal to the public, as they should. You just don't do that. Mm. You're just trying to connect the dots and see if you can get past the first couple of dots. So, yeah. You know, my heart goes out to everybody involved with that, especially the lead detectives on that. Man, they just got to be so frustrated right now that they're just pounding their desk and scratching their head saying, what have we missed? There's just got to be something here that we're just not seeing.
Yeah. Appreciate that, Phil Ramos. So let's dig into this. Dr. Ann, to you, in your opinion, and you've been doing this for a long time, is this what we're looking at right now, the best evidence in your opinion? I know evidence isn't necessarily your thing, you know, in terms of your absolute wheelhouse, but is this what we're looking at, the best evidence you think that law enforcement has? In other words, the actual perpetrator here?
Well, it might be if we really knew that it was, or somebody that was involved in it. I don't think it's been verified that this was someone that was involved, whether he was, remember we had talked about it, just like the handyman called to come in and take the camera part off. Did he ever get into the house? We don't know that. And I just echo what Detective Ramos has said, is that they have really withheld so much information that might have helped us, that certainly couldn't have compromised their investigation. I mean, we don't even know how anyone got into the house. They haven't released that. And that's really, really important. You've got to know who got in or where they got in. But to get back to your question about if this is someone that was involved, then yes, it would be very important to try to profile or figure out what he was doing with in this kind of cavorted way that he's walking around the exterior. Again, it's the exterior. They don't get us into the house at all to be able to see anything that might give us some idea of what happened in that house.
I mean, Ann brings up an amazing point. We all assume this is the perpetrator, but there is no evidence to suggest one way or the other that this person got in or took her out. We just see this moment in time. I mean, the obvious supposition is that this person is one of the perpetrators, and that's, I think, the assumption everyone is going with. By the way, shout out to Judy Herbert here. Phil, they want you to come out of retirement, Phil, and go help Tucson find Nancy. Are you willing to do that, Phil Ramos? You're going to travel down? I guess.
Hey, I've said it before, and I think everybody else has said it. If they ask me, you're damn right I will.
Please, Sheriff Nanos, call Phil Ramos. Number one, it'd be cool as hell. Number two, I'm coming along and I'm going to film it and we'll be live podcasting, streaming 24/7. That, of course, on a serious note, is Savannah and her mother, Nancy. But Jeff Wood, to you, this is the quote unquote suspect video. But again, Ann brings up a really interesting point. I mean, in my opinion, it's almost 100%, you know, 99%. One of the perpetrators, if not the only perpetrator. In your opinion, from what you've seen so far from afar, is this the best evidence that authorities have to go on? Because let's say they find a glove down the street, or let's say they can trace a backpack. It all comes back probably to this person, correct?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of chill out gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD. And when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is sleepy time gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
There's a good chance that I would agree with you on that, but you have to understand evidence as a whole, where I think this one video gives us good evidence, but there's so much more out there that law enforcement is doing right now. So yes, that may be a bag that they say this looks to be sold from Walmart. But how many Walmart bags have been sold? How many Walmarts are within an hour drive that we have to go look at? So, and then again, how do you make sure that the bag you find is that bag in the video, right? Some of the techniques with the video is that they'll look at the bag and they'll say, okay, based on the video and based on the real bag, we can determine it's the same thing. But one, this isn't a color video, so we don't know the color. Two, if there's five bags like this at one store, and then there's five bags at every store, and let's say there's five stores, we're now talking about 25 bags. How can I determine from the way it's worn that that is the actual bag? There's so much to it. So there's more than just this video that goes into it. We're going to, you know, look at cell phone dumps and say, hey, we identify, let's say they catch this guy. We have his phone number, and from the cell phone stuff, we can see his cell phone was also there at that time at that location. So it's all of the evidence. It's everything that comes in. So I wouldn't rely just on this video. I wouldn't say this is the be-all, end-all for all the evidence that they've collected and what they're still collecting. Right now, it's still not a cold case. There's so much work that's going on here that we just don't know what they have, because again, and I don't blame them, I wouldn't share information with you during my investigations. They're not going to share with us because they need to keep it close. They don't want to let any potential suspects that they have that, hey, we're starting to close our noose around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we saw that with Koberger, 7 weeks. And eventually they started working on investigative genetic genealogy. We know that they've been vocal about the fact that the DNA samples are a little too mixed. At least that's what they're saying publicly, and who knows, law enforcement can intentionally be deceitful to throw people off. I just don't know. We don't know. But Lee from Tennessee to Phil. It's funny. Someone said I'm so serious tonight. I can't win. Either I'm not serious at all or I'm too serious. There's nothing in the middle, I guess, for me. But Lee from Tennessee, What are the panel's thoughts, Phil Ramos, about ignoring this keeps coming up? So the quote unquote Cajun Navy that helps with grid searches, they're there. They had some sort of handbook that they wanted to deliver to Sheriff Chris Nanos, and Chris Nanos said, no, you're not doing that. Are they more of a help or a hindrance, Phil Ramos? I mean, if you were leading this investigation, would you want a group of guys coming in and doing grid searches for you? Oh, you're muted, Phil. I think you're muted. There you go.
Yeah, that's the issue, isn't it? We don't know. I've never heard of this this group or this organization. Who are they made up of? Are they experienced investigators? Are they retired cops like most people are? Are they professionals? What would they do if they come across a key piece of evidence? Would they grab it and look at it and take pictures of it with their cell phone? You don't know. That's a big unknown. So not knowing exactly what kind of volunteers you have in this particular group, it's hard to say. But, you know, as a rule of thumb, you don't want just anybody going out there looking for what you've been looking for all this time and have them find it without one of the investigators or an experienced law enforcement person there to, number one, say, okay, back away from that. Don't touch it. Just show us where your footprints are and just leave it alone. That is the biggest issue that I think we've come across is the lack of experience on some of these volunteers. Although their intentions are wonderful, but that's not going to help if they pick up a piece of evidence that could have fingerprints or DNA on it. So you got to weigh it out and see if it's a benefit right now and just go from there. I whatever the reason, the sheriff has said, no, we don't want him in there yet. I would have to say, yeah, I concur based on the fact that there's so much that hasn't been discovered yet. You don't want to take a chance on contaminating, number one, your evidence. And then there's always the chain of custody issue.
Tonight, by the way, you get this amazing panel. Tomorrow night, we've got Doug McGregor, a best guest. He goes by the Geo Profiler. And he uses geographic modeling to look for people. And so he's not actively working this case, but like most law enforcement people, he's incredibly interested in it. And he and a couple of his colleagues that he works closely with, including a retired homicide detective, are going to join and explain how they use geographic modeling to look for suspects. In a case like this, he worked, he actually helped the family in the Rachel Morin case, and is just an all-around great guy. So he'll be here tomorrow. I love the compliment. That's really an insult. Don't ever change, Joel. Your mood swings make the show. So now I have mood swings. All right, it's all good. It's all good. Dr. Ann, so I may or may not have a little OCD, and someone wrote me this email. People have heard this. They're going to say right now, I can't believe he's asking Ann and he won't let this go. But I had someone who knows American Sign Language fluently, and they wrote to me and said that the person in this video is using American Sign Language. And I immediately texted Phil Ramos. Who else am I going to text? And he said, wow, that's interesting. And then I found people who speak or sign in American Sign Language, and they confirmed in their opinion that it is American Sign Language. I'm going to show you where. Let's watch this video. It comes right at the end here, if I can get it to play. So when he walks back out to the right side, you'll see him kind of bend down over here, and he does something with his hand like this, very quick, right around here, right, boom. And he's looking out to the distance there, and I'll play it a few more times. But the bigger question is, how important would this be to a profiler if you could actually discover or prove that it is American Sign Language, but also the importance of investigating every potential possibility? How important is all that, Ann?
Well, I think that if that is, what is it? Who knows American Sign Language?
It's right there.
I don't know the sign language, but
I'm sorry, but it's right there. And then if you see, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he's peering out to the right as though he's looking at somebody else. So
Go ahead, Ann. How important would this be?
Well, I think that's the more important piece, is that he's looking at somebody. I think I've always said, and other people have said, that this was not a solo person that did this, that they had to have somebody else. And perhaps that's what he's signaling to, is that he's done. And does he leave? Is this the last piece of video that we have of him? And if so, that would be the sign that he's done and he's leaving. And maybe the car is supposed to come and get him.
Yeah. And Jeff, I mean, if you want to add to that, let's say just in a hypothetical world that someone comes and says definitively, hey, that is American Sign Language. Does that now reduce your pool of suspects? Because I never knew this. I knew it, but I didn't think about it. But I think one of the first things that Ramos and other law enforcement officers said to me is, well, you know who else uses sign language is law enforcement. Sometimes they don't want things to go out over the air. So like SWAT commanders will use hand signals, et cetera, et cetera. But Jeff Wood, how important would that be if that was in fact true?
I mean, it would be a very important lead for law enforcement to go on. But again, I think one thing we're saying here is, and again, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. He's looking out over there and you said, oh, he's looking at someone. We're making an assumption on that. I agree overall that he's working with someone, but we don't know, is he truly looking at something or did he hear something? So, you know, we don't know yet. And so to me, that's why, again, it's something for us now to look at as law enforcement. We're investigators. Let's get some hands, people who know the American Sign Language, to come in and say, what is he saying? Let's enhance this so we can see the hands better. Tell us what he's saying. Because, you know, I know military hand signals. You know, I know I used them for 5 years on active duty, for 4 years in the National Guard. But I couldn't tell you a thing of what they're saying. And I'd want to know what they're saying, because then that would go more to he is looking at someone versus something else, right? You know, there's just so much there, because as far as I'm concerned, I joined law enforcement in 1997. In my career until I retired, the only kidnappings I worked were parental kidnappings and then drug/gang related type kidnappings. I never worked, because I never saw one where we have a typical, I'm kidnapping someone for a ransom. You know, now granted, most of my work was always in Boston, but lots of gangbangers, lots of drug dealers kidnapping rivals and getting their money. But it wasn't the typical what we always see on the TV shows, the movies, what we saw back in the day when I would kidnap someone and then reach out to the parents or the spouse saying, you need to give me this much money.
So, Jeff, I mean, do you have your own theory here? Do you have your own idea? Phil Ramos has said, well, maybe it's a home invasion gone bad. Greg Rogers, who was I don't know if you know Greg Rogers, who was deep undercover with the FBI, and he teaches in Utah now. But he said he's convinced that this was, in fact, some sort of abduction. But, Jeff, do you have your own theory on this?
Well, I have a couple theories. One theory I will go with, yes, this could be a home invasion gone bad, in the sense that, again, the majority of home invasions today are against rival drug dealers. People have a lot of cash type stuff, and that cash usually comes from drug dealing, because most people don't keep cash in the house unless it's ill-gotten gains. Mm. Not saying that some people don't. But a lot of times in the home invasions I investigated for 20 years, they were rivals, or they had a gun collector who had lots of guns and gangbangers wanted guns. So they hit the wrong house. They find this person and now, oh, what do we do? Right. Or again, I've talked to Ann at length about this. Is this related to her daughter? You know, did someone want to seek some type of revenge against her daughter for something? Because the daughter, her whole life has been messed up. She was supposed to go to the Olympics, and she canceled everything to go home and try and help and do things to find her mom. Those are my two big things that I'm looking at.
Yeah, and you see here from Deborah Miller right on cue. I'm starting to think it was an obsession with Savannah. Hopefully we're going to eventually find out. Phil Ramos, let me ask you, since people want you in charge of this investigation now, if you were the lead Pima County detective, what do you do on day 38 when you get to the office? What are you doing today?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, you debrief like you usually do and just open it up for ideas and opinions from your crew. I'll ask them, what have we missed? Do you guys have any ideas? Did we get a phone call that didn't make it to us? Did it get filtered through that something should have come through? You just start, at this point, you start second guessing yourself because you haven't gone as far as you would want. You know, if we'd be having this conversation a week afterwards and say, oh yeah, they're going to wrap it up in another few days, who would have thought we'd be here 6 weeks later? I didn't. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't think that we'd be stretching it out this far. And that just takes me to the fact that all that TMZ nonsense was had no value. Mm-hmm. I've said it before, I hate saying it again, but I'm afraid she's no longer with us, and the bad guys have fled to parts unknown, likely south of the border and even beyond that. And it's a matter of, you know, God willing, her body is found sooner than later. And I hate saying that. I just absolutely hate it, because a lot of times we love being wrong when it comes to things like this. And I just hope that I'm completely wrong on this. And I'll be the first one to say, yeah, I was wrong. And I'm sure glad I was.
Question. Thank you, Phil Ramos. And I hope you are wrong. And I usually don't. AR, friend of the show here. And do you think it's some sort of obsessive, maybe Savannah Guthrie stalker type that is behind this?
Yes, I think this is much more of a personal kind of a crime, that there is some grievance out there that is trying to play itself out. We don't know, but you always have to ask who benefits from this, who's this going to affect the most? You have to ask those kinds of questions when we just don't know as much as at this point. And it looks like as far as I've learned, there's nothing in Nancy Guthrie's background that would make her a prime target, so to speak. But certainly the daughter is so well known, obviously. And is there something that's going on there that might explain something or give us some hints?
And Ann, let me just come right back to you. So we're 38 days in, and you've worked major cases. How do you need to change, not only as an investigator, but as a profiler 38 days later? Like, initially, if you said, well, I don't think this person is professional, you have to really now reconsider that because they've gone 38 days without being caught. How do you adapt as a profiler with an ongoing case.
Yeah, well, this is a very, if you want to look at to classify, it's a very organized type of crime. They've gotten away with it quite a bit. Look at how many people that have tried to bring the best of their experience to bear on this, so that it was well planned, or it, if indeed something happened to go wrong, if you will, in the house, that the decision to take her out of the house, we at least know she did, as far as I think the evidence goes, that there was blood that did turn out to be hers. So she's at least out of the house and obviously taken somewhere else. Now, how do you profile someone like that? You really are trying to profile the mastermind, if you will, of who planned this and how were they able to pull it off. There had to have been somebody else involved to get the 84-year-old woman into some kind of a vehicle to get her out of the area. And they did it at a time, I think there was surveillance before this. It was the type of home and roads and so forth that it wouldn't be hard for someone to kind of stake themselves out near there and not be seen. There always was that issue of her journal, and did anything ever turn up in that? We know that. We also know, we learned that the she had another little kind of sitting area that she would sit and read in, and that would be a prime area. Somebody could have binoculars and watch her from there. So all of those things from a profile standpoint is what I would be looking at.
Yeah, and Ann, I'm going to come right back to you because you're the star of the show, and I know Jeff and Phil can't. They not only will they not do anything, they won't say anything to me because it's you, Ann, so they can't come at me and say that the talking ratio is whatever upended. But Miss J Vibes here with the super chat, ask Dr. Ann, what two additional things would you need to know to feel more confident about what you think happened? Interesting question. Keep them coming.
Well, I think the thing is, how do they get in? I want to know how the person or persons got in. And then anything that would lead to what happened in the house. Now, am I correct that the house is being considered to be returned back to the family? And if that's the case, it clearly had to have been cleared out, or whatever evidence was there, I would hope was taken out so that it would be saved for as evidence. And then how she gets out, I've often thought it's that garage. Does she come in through the garage, or did she come in through a sliding door? But we know she goes out the main door because of the blood. So as you're trying to trace that, and who would know that? Who would know the inside of the house? So to some degree, somebody knew that house or knew more about her, or whomever they were told to was there to be kidnapped.
Yeah. This I've heard rumblings of this, but I'm glad this comment is here. Did you hear the news? A multi-agency search, including the FBI, the 68-year-old Air Force general who missing the same way from his home in Albuquerque, 6 hours from Tucson. Phil Ramos, you're shaking your head. By the way, if someone can send, I'm sure I can Google it and find it, but I'm not going to say
that's interesting,
but yeah, maybe you guys, please send it to me. Surviving Survivor Gmail. If anyone has it readily available, but Phil Ramos, what do you do? There's a very, very good chance this has nothing to do with Nancy Guthrie, but maybe it does. So what do you do here?
Well, you look into it and see what you know about it. In fact, I just read an update today about that case, and he's still missing. They can't find him. The very interesting about that. And so, here comes the wave of conspiracy theorists. This man had some pretty top secret information as far as the Air Force's investigation into unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Mm. So it's always UFOs, Phil.
Yeah,
always
there's that aspect to it. And I don't think it's got absolutely anything to do, with our case here, with the Guthrie case. There's just too many what ifs on that one. But that's a separate, very interesting circumstances on that case, particularly on who the victim is, and he's still missing. They don't have a clue.
Yeah. So Jeff Wood, getting back to what we do have a clue about, whoever did this has gone 38 days without getting caught. And I mean, with all due respect to Phil Ramos, who I respect more than anyone knows, you know, he thinks maybe it was a home invasion gone bad. But again, Greg Rogers, one of your old FBI colleagues, believes it was an abduction. But almost across the board, law enforcement has told me this guy is not a professional. This person is a hack. So why are they still out 38 days later, out and about, under the radar of multiple law enforcement, including the feds?
Well, again, I'm not going to say that I completely agree with every law enforcement officer who calls this guy a hack. I wouldn't say he's the best at the approach, right? But again, was he the one responsible for doing any surveillance to know where certain things were in the house or approaching the house? When you go back to that first video, when you see him walk in, he's not looking at the camera. You can see he's doing things to avoid the camera. I would never wear a gun in a holster the way he is, but I heard someone talking, saying, hey, this is something that we've seen people south of the border. They've done it. People in our area do it like this. Again, I don't like it. I don't think it's secure. I think it's, you know, I went it off to the side when I wore my sidearm. So, yeah, I think when you look at that, people are automatically going to say he wasn't prepared. He's a hack. But he is trying to defeat that camera. That takes a little bit of sophistication. You know, he's not quite looking. Granted, he didn't get the best light to try and blind the camera out, but he's got a light that he's got in his mouth to try and say, okay, as I'm looking at the camera, I'm trying to wipe it out so they can't catch a good video of my face, even though I'm wearing a mask. Again, that goes to show that there is some planning there. So to call him a complete hack, I wouldn't do that yet. I would want to see more evidence on that. But to me, this is what makes this case so difficult for us to look at and for us to be able to come up with good, solid conclusions on what happened to her, why it happened, and everything else. Because, again, when you go back and look at how kidnappings have occurred recently, I don't see, if I'm kidnapping you for money and I know you have a lot of money, or I know your daughter has a lot of money, so she's been on the Today Show forever, why am I asking for one Bitcoin, $67,000? I mean, I'm coming in. If I'm kidnapping you for money, I'm going to get more. I'm going to ask for more money. Mm. I'm going to have better proof of life to show, like, you pay me this money, you're going to get your mom back. So, again, is this a red herring? What happened? Which is why, you know, Detective Phil's, Ramos is, thought process of something going bad makes a lot of sense, right? You know, did they hit the wrong house and they found her and something happened with, like, are they newer? You know, maybe he's new to this and he panics instead of saying, oh, she hasn't seen me, I can get away. Oh, she may call the cops. I may not have the ability, depending on what I'm doing, I may not get out of here, so I'm taking her with me. Who knows? We don't know. This is what's so hard about this, because there's so much going on here that we just don't know for us to make great conclusions. We're not seeing the evidence that they do have. We're not, and I will say, you know, you talked, the sheriff was in law enforcement back in 1982. I think today in a lot of agencies, you have a better relationship between different multiple agencies. But there's places that it doesn't matter. Agencies hate one another. Should the FBI have been brought in earlier? But if the sheriff doesn't like the FBI, he's not going to bring him in. I've seen it. I've been told, you know, this is my city. I don't want anyone else's help. This is his county. He probably doesn't want anyone else's help, but those things can slow things down. Evidence can get old. You know, DNA is going to, you know, they find gloves days later, weeks later. How strong is the DNA that you know, that we can use. It's going to take a lot more work and effort to do that. And it's degraded. And now, as you said, hey, we don't have any DNA in CODIS for us to go and do a good match that way. Now we're going to 23, all these other places to say, can we get somewhere where we can find a familiar match? So now we can start trying that way. So,
well, yeah, which they might be doing right now. And we might not even know about it. But thank you, Jeff. But Phil Ramos, to you from Kitty Hawk. Can we put that one right back up, COE? Well, here's one I was going to ask Ann about. So, Ann, there's $1.2 million that's been offered, and no one's claiming it. It's a lot of money. No one's touching it. Savannah Guthrie herself has, you know, publicly said we're offering up to $1 million. From a profiling perspective, what does it tell you, if anything, that no one seems to care about a lot of zeros going into their bank account?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you, and I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, it may not be that they don't care, but they don't have the proof of life. I think that if anyone had the proof of life, they'd be out there. I mean, I just think that's what happened.
Mm. Yeah. And that is a very understandable answer. How about this one? And you again, some people are surmising, well, maybe this was some sort of sexual attack two separate things, and or elder abuse. But let's go to sexual predator. How do you begin to figure that out through, you know, the science of profiling, if this had some sexual component to it?
Right. Well, and we do know that elders can be sexually, targeted, so that it's not an out of the ballpark kind of question. But I think that the point that there are had to have been multiple people that many people agree on, that would be very unusual to have two, unless you had two that worked as a pair. I think there would be more evidence of that inside. Again, we don't know that. We do know that there was some blood coming out of the house, but it would probably mean that it was more from the head or the head area rather than any other place. I just think that it was considered. I think that we did talk about it, but that never seeing any other evidence that it was a sexual predator. It could have been a serial killer, but then that, I think there would have been more looking into others in the area, and I haven't seen any evidence that there's any other sexual serial killers that are in that area.
Yeah. All this is really interesting. I mean, you've got a former FBI guy, former homicide detective, and one of the best known criminal profilers. And this is a case that is still a whodunit and why did it happen? But Phil Ramos, to you, I would hope this has happened already, but would going through Savannah's most adversarial interviews, she's not a very adversarial person in general, but, you know, she was in Tucson doing a profile with her mother at a famous restaurant in Tucson that everyone knows with multiple locations, but the downtown one is El Charro. I don't know. Is it safe to say that everyone at El Charro has been interviewed, that police have gone there and spoken to people since there was a huge camera crew there that day? Savannah was there. Her mother was there. Did anyone see something? Did anyone notice somebody staring at them? Were these types of questions asked, Phil?
Yeah, any contact that you have, you're gonna ask questions of everybody that is associated with that contact. In this case, if it was a restaurant, they're gonna talk to everybody who was working that night, the night that she disappeared. They are so good at dotting every I and crossing every T that's just a given. You ask the questions as they come up. The only thing that might cause you to deviate from that is how they answer the questions. And you know, something like, well, we've never heard that, so let's explore that a little bit. You know, why did you say that? Or what makes you think that that was the case? Did you see it yourself? Or did somebody tell you that's what happened? So yeah, that's just basic, you know, that's stick and whistle 101. You get all the information from everybody that you come in contact with, especially on a very dramatic case like this. You're not going to leave any questions uncovered.
Yeah. Jeff, I promise I'm coming back to you. But Ann, Dr. G is well known for doing like body behavior analysis on YouTube. He's a friend of mine. He has a theory, just his own theory, and he's willing to, you know, share it. And it's really just sort of from his own experience as a psychologist. But he believes that maybe the reason a person's going unnoticed is maybe they're from the medical field, like someone who helped her with hearing aids, someone who helped her with her heart, and they work as maybe an aide or a nurse in a medical office, and people might recognize the gait from the suspect video. But because this person works in the healthcare profession, they're saying, well, there's no way someone could do something nefarious if you're a nurse or if you're a healthcare aide. Is that something that piques your interest as a profiler, that the perp could possibly be from the healthcare field?
Yeah, we certainly know that there are nefarious people in the healthcare field. Yeah. So I don't think that's I think that's a perfectly logical question to ask. And that would be someone that would know her health history and so forth. But then when you look at what happened, and there hasn't been a lot of talk about that lately in terms of her medical medications and her pacemaker and things like that, it sounds like it wasn't too well attended to as far as we know. So, but I think it's a logical, the other people that, who else you have to ask has contact with her regularly, and that would be a cleaning woman. It could be the grounds were very, very well kept, and it's never necessarily going to be those people per se, but they will get the information. Hey, you know, I take care of somebody's house and et cetera, et cetera. And that is always, and that could, that's where, again, trying to get into that garage. Is there another app that can raise it, or did he come in at the same time? All of those things should be looked at. And hopefully from a witness standpoint, they would have been asked, whether it's healthcare, whether it's people that clean her house or took care of it or her grounds.
Yeah. Jeff, whether this person here, I'll play it again, is the perp or not, and we assume that they are, but what does it tell you here? And I'll ask Ann the same question, that multi-layered clothing, multi-layered gloves, this backpack, face covered, gun in a holster. I mean, very sort of seemingly well prepared. What does that tell you as a retired FBI agent and an investigator?
Well, I'm looking at the fact that they're wearing the gloves and then they're double. So taking good steps to try and prevent fingerprints, DNA being left behind, right? You've seen in the news so often now how cases are being solved with that. And here he is trying to defeat our ability in law enforcement to ID him. I mean, again, I look at that video and I think it's a very safe bet to say this is a good suspect to be looking at involved, because why else would I show up to somebody's house covered like that, doing things like that? You know, if I'm a kid, they do the doorbell prank stuff. They're not covered. They come up, they ring the doorbell, and they run away. This is much more advanced than ringing the doorbell and running away. So, but who else is involved? I don't quite see this as a single person doing this just by themselves. It shows that it's not a complete hack job. There is some thought, there is some planning, just not the best executor. Maybe this is a newer person being recruited into some type of organization. We're in an area of the country where you have lots of different street gangs. You've got the cartels across the border. You're not too far. Again, goes to the theory of this is a home invasion gone bad. A newer group of people making their bones to get accepted into the gang, into the organization. And they're just not as prepared, but they've had at least some kind of thought process here. It goes to the organization because, again, nothing 38 days later. And there is some organization, the ability of I'm wearing all these things to prevent me from leaving fingerprints and DNA.
Dr. Burgess, to you, Hope always with an interesting comment. He's not the cook, this person, meaning the person in the Nescam video of the operation. He is the waiter, meaning sort of an ancillary to whoever is really in charge here. What does your profiling gut tell you about that? Do you agree that this person might not be the quote unquote ringleader right here?
Oh, I agree. I think he was sent there and told to go and behave in this rather odd way and so forth. He might have even, how do we know, he even practiced ahead of time? We don't know. But I would agree that is his, he's given a task to do, a command, do something with the camera, try to disable the camera, and then try to take these little flowers or something and make it look like something. How well he was prepared is a good question. Whether he just kind of ad libs, if you will, the whole thing. If he's just like told, oh, just go in and do X, Y, and Z versus I want you to go in, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, so forth. And we don't know whether there had been any practice prior to that, but he was told to do this, so there's somebody else involved, and that I would agree that he's looking at someone when he looks up to see if he's got the signal or whatever. That's yeah. My take on it.
Jeff Wood, to you, Sheriff Chris Nanos came out and said the family has been cleared, but there are, as far as we know, there's no suspect. And as far as I've learned from you guys, you don't clear anybody till you have a suspect. What do you make of that?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you, and I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, I believe he's making those statements based on the interviews they've done, based on tracking different things, alibis, right? Again, that's not a statement I in law enforcement would make. Just, I wouldn't say anything. I want to keep my options open to my investigation. I don't want to get so focused where this is what happened and I miss the truth, right? Because when we get so focused and saying so-and-so did this crime and now I'm trying to make the evidence fit that, I may make evidence fit that and resulting in a wrongful conviction or a wrongful arrest, right? So again, he had his reasons for it. I don't necessarily think I would agree with it. I mean, if reporters kept asking me, I'm like, hey, we just don't have certain answers yet because I haven't been involved in the interviews. I want, if I was there, I'm interviewing people, you can go for 50 minutes and say, this isn't the person, and ask one question and boom, you know, you have your person. I haven't been there to be able to do those interviews. Now, his people, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've done their interviews and they're telling him it's not them. We know it's not them. I'll listen to it, but for me, I'll keep everything on the table until I know I have someone in custody. I'm going to keep my options available so I don't paint myself into a corner and make it where I'm making a mistake. I don't want to do that.
And another question back to you, and then I've got one for Phil from Kelly McClellan. For Dr. Burgess, what does his calm demeanor tell you about him? He does seem somewhat relaxed. He's not frenetic. He's not frantic. He's not running around. He's just moving about. What, if anything, does that say?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's because he has thought about it. He has practiced it. He knows what he's going to do. He's got a mission to do this, whatever this task is, and he does it. And I would agree. He's very calm. So this is not playing up whatever he thinks went on inside the house or whatever. Are we convinced it really is somebody involved in this, or is this someone that's just given the task to go in and make this video? Again, we don't know.
And is this a universal truth here from Beth Pepper Coates? Everyone makes mistakes at some point, except for my mother, Anne, except for Carm. Is this a universal truth?
Well, that's what the serial killers tell us. They always know when they make mistakes. So I'm taking my cue from them. I can just report what they tell me.
And how, when they make mistakes, do they harbor on it? Like, do they obsess about it? Does it eat away at serial killers when they make mistakes?
Oh, they learn from them. Yes, very much so. Yes. They learn from them so they don't do it again. That's what makes them so good, and that they get away with it. That's what I think you have here, is someone that's gotten away with things before.
Yeah. Wow. This case is just incredibly difficult to wrap your head around as we go, because it seems like we've got more answers by far than we have questions. Phil Ramos, to you, there's been a tremendous amount of talk about this quote unquote signal jammer. There is what appears to be an antenna sticking out of the front pocket. You and I talked about that when, thank you to Canine Catherine in Maui, love you back. But what are your thoughts on that a few days removed from news of this potential signal jammer? One other person had an issue, I think, with their Wi-Fi at the exact same time, because that would add a real level of sophistication.
Yeah. And that's something you wouldn't expect from this image that we have of this guy. You know, I agree with Jeff that this guy wasn't a buffoon and a bumbling idiot. He had some level of sophistication. Now, whether he was sophisticated enough to have a Wi-Fi signal jammer there, you know, that remains to be seen. But if that turns out to be the case, then there's a lot more to it than what we're thinking. It's just such that coupled with the obviously stuffed backpack and some very rigid items that were in that backpack, man, I'm really going to be interested to see what that was. So it's a matter of what this guy has up here doesn't match with what we see on that videotape. And he may be much more adept at what he was trying to do than what we can see. And Dr. Ann said, you know, I've sat and interviewed serial killers myself, and these guys are smart. They are no dummies. Many of them have some pretty high IQs, and that's why they're able to get away with it for so long, because they plan it so meticulously. And when they mess up, you know, they like she said, they learn from it, and they won't make the same mistake twice.
That is absolutely fascinating. Icicle Aksu here comes to us from the country of Turkey. A neighbor mentioned that they didn't even lock their doors before this incident. I met the COE working in Tucson for KGUN 9 News, which is the ABC affiliate. And it is, this area of Tucson is incredibly sleepy, very safe neighborhood, very quiet. You would never expect. Now, different parts of Tucson, different story where there is violent crime, but generally not here. But Ann, back to you, and thank you to JBZ18 for becoming a member. But Ann, to you, let's kind of just hone in a little bit. She's an 84-year-old woman. I just had my mom on Friday who talked about her perspective as an 86-year-old woman. How does the age of the victim really change your ability or your, your calculus when you're creating this profile? Because the obvious question is, who targets an 84-year-old woman and why?
Right. That's a 24-hour, the big question. And once they target her and get into the house, what does she do? That she had to have, I don't think that they planned on her not being able to get out of the house and get, so they had some proof of life. So I wonder if she fights them, if she is, or is she so overcome when they confront her, or he or she confronts her, that they, she has some kind of cardiac symptom. We don't know what her reaction is, but she certainly would have been fearful and afraid and surprised and shocked and all of those kinds of things. So she's at 84. That's not really good for one's, not only their mental state, but their physical state. So I think that the physical, the physiology, if you will, of somebody at that age is very different from obviously someone that's much younger. So we have, that's a very astute to have to figure that into the equation of what was her reaction to being confronted. And as she is obviously taken out of the front door, we know that. And then what happened, we don't know whether how it goes from there. But it, we do know that there is no immediate request for ransom or anything like that. I think that took several days or weeks into the time that she was out of the house.
I'm thinking, you know, I told my mom there's 80-year-olds and 80-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 50-year-olds. Ann Burgess would probably take me in the Boston Marathon. I have no doubt, especially up Heartbreak Hill there, mile 18. But Dr. Burgess, regarding SA on elders, are the perps of elder abuse or SA here in a certain age group? Is that something that's been researched? In other words, are they younger males and are they of a certain ethnicity? I don't know.
Yes, and I think you want to understand that there are men and in younger, obviously younger age groups that are interested sexually in elders. And that usually there's a history there in the cases that we've been able to analyze that goes way back. But at any rate, there is a, as I said, a sexual interest in that. Whether that's in this case can absolutely be ruled out. But there are, I happened to look up statistics, and do you know that there are 108 missing women in their 90s reported in the stats I was able to look at, and even more in the 80-year-old group. So that obviously they're missing for different reasons, but missing and murdered indigenous, we've studied indigenous women and men to try to get at some of the motive. And actually, we looked at 33 that were over 60. And of that, we had several that were sexually assaulted. And then we had some that are still missing. And then we had some, there were family members that had murdered them, a son, grandsons. And the reason they, or the motive was drugs and money in those cases. So again, you had a wide range of motives that came up, but we did look at least 33 that we had a sample for.
Yeah, and there's also a comment I just skipped over, but it says y'all colon Occam's razor. Ann knows what Occam's razor is, which is generally right here. The simplest explanation is usually the simplest thing. Do you agree with this, Ann? I mean, when you're profiling, you oftentimes just go back to, hey, what makes the most sense? What is the simplest? Was it potentially a landscaper or a housekeeper or someone along those lines who saw her every day, who was on these grounds every day?
Yes, it's usually someone that knows her, has seen her. She may not know them, but they know her. That's that. We had to be careful when we were coding for whether it was a stranger or not, because once we got the access to the offender, he was able to tell us how he had surveilled it, and she had no idea of who he was. So yes to that question. We have to be very careful. I think the statistics for absolute strangers is quite unusual.
Mm. I see it. Very interesting question I'm going to get to here. But Ann, back to you on this one. 83 Socket. She lived there for 51 years. No issues. An intruder enters. I believe Nancy would try to fight back. What does your profiling career tell you? Does an 84-year-old woman who's a target of a home invasion or an abduction, does she try to fight back? Carm said she would have tried to talk her way out of it.
Well, that would be a different method that your mom would use. But for Nancy, again, you'd almost have to get more information from their children about how aggressive she would be. But she lived alone. She had health problems. So I think the very thought that she would live alone, that she felt that she was able to defend herself. Unless they get her, again, we don't know whether she was in bed sleeping. You know, you have to look at that those factors. It would have been nice to have some information there. But if she's in bed sleeping, then you're going to profile somebody that's very does not want any kind of confrontation with her. And that they pick a elder tells you something about it's like picking a child. They're not going to be able to you're going to be able to overpower them. I think the fact that a male would be able to overpower an 84-year-old woman is quite high.
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you, and I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there's pre-rolls, there's bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Hmm. Yvonne Lopez, Phil, this one's for you because it says, does Phil think maybe the perp was offed because he was on video, making it harder to connect to the architect? Now, this is interesting. Someone said this is the waiter, not the chef, right? The person in the Nest Cam video. Going with that theory, Phil, is this person expendable to whomever sent this person to carry out whatever the intended misdeed was? Is it possible that this person is no longer with us because they were just collateral damage to a bigger scheme here?
The quick answer is yes. If this was part of an organized effort, if there was somebody calling the shots, if there was somebody assigning different duties to however many perpetrators there were, if this was a collaboration between, say, 3 or 4 or 5 people, the guy on the video really messed it up. And I mean, there's the bad guy right there, and you can see what's going on. So the way the cartels deal with people like that, the way organized crime deals with people like that, yeah, they whacked him for making a big mistake like that.
Someone here says, Jeff Wood, if you want to respond to this, am I the only one who thinks the porch guy and porch blood just looks staged to distance or move crime scene back to Nancy's house? I mean, that's another interesting thing. Let's start there, Jeff. Is it possible that this was all staged to throw all of us off? I mean, that seems very intricate.
I mean, that would... If this is the case, I would say with everything we're saying, it even adds another level of sophistication to say, let's try and do some things by suggesting and planning basically false evidence to make, to stage it, to make it harder for law enforcement. So again, I thought, didn't they say the blood on that front porch area was hers?
Yeah, they did.
What I thought they said. So
I think that maybe this person is saying, well, maybe they took her blood somehow and planted it. I mean, look, that takes a lot of overthinking.
But yes, and if time's a factor, which I suspect there is some time, once you make entry, you don't want to spend forever. You know, you want to get out. You don't want to stick around forever because you just don't know. That's, you know, that's a lot to go stage blood, right? If I'm going to hit you to get that the blood out, like, or I'm going to cut you, especially with an older person, unless you plan on killing them right then and there, basically, it's, do I really want to kind of injure somebody if I didn't to stage that? But I'll say, if that's the case, it goes to another level of sophistication. I don't quite think it's, that's not my belief, but
yeah,
I completely agree with the fact that if a criminal makes a mistake that can either bring additional heat or doesn't do things as planned, you know, the cartels, they'll take care of them. There's not a doubt in my mind. I completely agree that they'll do that.
You're the best person to ask for this because you dealt with all sorts of Central American gangs, right? That's who you dealt with in Boston. Does this have the hallmarks of any of those people you used to, you know, that you used to catch and imprison?
Again, for me, that's why the thought process of this being, you know, a home invasion gone bad. I've done some investigations against gang. That's all they, well, the main thing they did was kidnap rivals, torture them so that a spouse or a family member will bring their drugs, their stash, their cash to get their husband back. And that's why this is weird, because they wouldn't come to us because they don't want to admit why they were home invaded. They don't want to admit my husband was kidnapped because we're drug dealers and they stole 20 keys of the coke or the heroin. They stole $250,000. So I gave them our stash of cash of $250,000 to get them back, because, and it's hard because where we dealt with this, again, it was Central American or Puerto Rican or Dominican. We're trying to tell them, like, we know that this is drug related. We're not here about that. Your husband, your father, whatever, was kidnapped because of their billing. Let's get them back. And if I can find proof along the way to arrest everyone else for drugs, great. But right now, my goal is the recovery. So, yes, that's why if we go along with that theory, this makes sense, because again, we know she's not, I mean, I can't see her. And again, I could be completely off base. I don't see her as a drug dealer, so I don't see them targeting her for drugs. It's not like she had the cash that laying around. She's going to use a bank. So again, if we go with that theory, this would be, you know, a drug cartel, a street gang associated in that area that would go that hit the wrong house. Again, the theory is he's newer, trying to get into the gang, trying to make his bones, right? Because to become a member, you have to prove your bones.
Yeah.
This is their first mission, and they screw up. And because they're like, hey, they really don't see us, we can get out of here, they panic and grab her and take her.
Yeah. A lot to digest. Just a couple more questions, and we'll get final thoughts. But from Gia and TJ's mom, who's in the chat often, Dr. Burgess, do you think, and Phil mentioned this, do you think the letters that TMZ received are real, considering that once people started saying that the letters are not real, all of a sudden TMZ stopped getting them? TMZ also said they were going to stop reporting on them. But also, and these weren't really kind of traditional ransom letters. These were apparently letters from someone who claimed to have knowledge about Nancy Guthrie's whereabouts and had a criminal history. So they didn't want to go to authorities, and they were going to TMZ, and they were basically saying, hey, give me a Bitcoin and I'll tell you where she was. But these letters and the whole TMZ, you know, kind of putting themselves in the middle of this story also makes it incredibly bizarre. But your thoughts on that?
Well, I would agree with that. And I think that they also stopped because they put a lot of pressure saying you have to have proof of life. And whoever was doing that, if they were just staging them or just writing them, they wouldn't be able to do that. And maybe they were people were zooming in on them. You know, they had several letters, and maybe they had figured out who might have done it. We don't know that. But I would agree that I think that was done just because to play up the idea that she had been kidnapped for ransom.
Yeah. Phil Ramos, tell me, please, that day 38, that any doctor, nurse, landscaper, gardener, anyone who was in her orbit, saw her, you know, kind of directly, either daily or at a medical office for her, you know, her heart condition, that they've been interviewed by now. Is that all happened?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That would have happened in the first few days. They would have dug deep into her medical history for that very hypothesis that it was, you know, her health is what caused her to bleed and possibly have received some sort of blunt force trauma to cause that bleeding, and eventually it led to her death. So they would have asked for every medical file that they would have been able to get. They would have subpoenaed all of that to really dig deep into that. They absolutely would have done that in the first few days.
Yeah. Dr. Ann, to you, the offender or offenders, what are they doing today, assuming that they're still with us? Are they agitated? We had Greg McCrary on, and he said that whoever did this or the people that did this would be noticeably more agitated. They'd be shorter with their neighbors. They'd be in a rush, not want to spend time in extraneous conversation. What do you think the offender's behavior is like 38 days into this?
Probably watching us, watching your show. I wouldn't be surprised
really?
To see what information they could get if they're really that organized. So we don't know. But I think that it would. Well, we saw we've already talked about how calm that one was on the video. We don't have any reason to think that the other one would be any less calm. I think that he got away with it. They really get high on this to get away with it, and it's putting it over on the cops and putting it over on investigators and so forth. And that's if they have done it before. That's your serial pattern. So we don't know whether they have done it before, but they were good enough to get away with it for 38 days. So, I think they're watching all this and just seeing what's being played out.
Yeah, when you interview serial killers, do they, generally speaking, across the board, say, "And we were watching the news all the time. I wanted to know, not only from an information standpoint, but I guess also an ego standpoint."
Well, sure. Yeah. And we would ask them. I mean, it would caught on, the agents caught on to that pretty quickly, that but they like talking about it. So they, I never talked to anyone that was really nervous or anxious about it. They seemed pretty calm and enjoyed, you know, enjoyed all of the notoriety that they were getting. So I don't think that if they find the person, it's going to be very interesting who gets to interview them or interrogate them. It should be done by somebody that really knows what they're doing so you can get as much information as possible.
A final Joel question, and we'll get final thoughts. And do you remember the first time that you were ever alone in an interview room with a serial killer, who it was and what was going through your mind?
I was never alone with a serial killer. I always had someone with me. I would never go alone.
You mean you would always have a someone, security from the prison, or a colleague with you?
A colleague. I'd have a colleague, right? I better qualify that. How do I know if it was someone that hadn't been arrested? Maybe I have. I don't know. But no, I think that's very, very important that you always have two people, because you learn much, and you should have two people that are different in style, because you will find quickly they relate more to one than the other. And that's the way you get some good information.
Lindsay says, smart move, Dr. Ann. See, I'm not as smart as you. One other STS question here. Ann, this is a question that a lot of people are asking us. In addition to watching maybe Surviving the Survivor and other YouTube channels and news, do you think this person potentially or people could have gone back to the crime scene? There's a little bit of a memorial going on with flowers and cards. Is that typical?
Sure, that would not be unusual, as well as the person thought that could disguise himself or herself enough. So that would not surprise me at all, because they would relive it. That's something that they like to do. And to get away with it. Look, I went right up and put a flower down for her.
I would also say there's multiple crime scenes here.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't, again, like Phil and Ann have said, we hope she's still alive. Unfortunately, I think she's not. I hope, again, to be proven wrong. But like Ann said, I'm sure they've come back, maybe put a flower wherever. But odds are, if it is a serial type killer, visiting where they finally did the killing. You know, if she wasn't killed in the house and they smuggled her out and then killed her later, wherever her body is, there's a crime scene. That's a crime scene, right?
Good point.
I would say they definitely have gone back to visit that, because no one's identified that as far as we know yet.
Correct.
That's fascinating. For those who do not know, Jeff Wood is retired FBI out of Boston, and occasionally he will teach with Ann at Boston College, which is what he's doing now. And, not only was Jeff in the military, both his parents were in Vietnam, and that's where they met and helped create baby Jeff, who now is no longer baby Jeff. But baby Jeff, are they going to solve this crime? Are we going to finally get some resolution? Do you have confidence here?
I think eventually, but I can imagine that this is going to go on for a while. There's a lot to dig through. There's a lot of work to do. A lot of the techniques out there only work if we're lucky. And I just don't want to get into too much detail, but there are techniques that we use that we can definitely help identify things. But if again, we're seeing some sophistication here, if they've done and used certain tools to help commit this crime, if they use newer tools or did something different and then get rid of them, it's going to make it harder for us to track them. And it's going to take a lot longer, which again, could be the reason why we're seeing such a long time, because some of the tools that can help us solve things quickly isn't going to work here, because it's going to take a much more level of sophistication of deep diving and things to get the evidence that law enforcement needs to bring this case to closure for everyone.
Well, Jeff, thank you for your insight. Anja here says, I think the person is military. or military. I don't know what they mean, but military. Phil Ramos. Wow, what a case, man. And Phil has been on this with us for a really long time. I want to get your final thoughts, but what is the pressure like, do you think, on the perp or perpetrators in this case now that we're 38 days in and they know that the world is out looking for them, trying to capture them?
Depends on their core personality, what they think. I would guess that, you know, my gut tells me that they're thinking at this point that they got away with it, but they're still going to be looking over their shoulder everywhere they go. Not only because of they know what happened and they have a pretty good idea of what the cops would have gathered from inside the house and what the cops know. And just switching horses real quick, going back to what Dr. Ann was saying about who's viewing this. When America's Most Wanted was at its peak, when it was like the number one show, I had several cases on America's Most Wanted, and you know this, being in that business, the highest group of people to watch America's Most Wanted were sitting in prison. They wanted to see what their homies were up to and who was doing what. Every night, every Saturday night when America's Most Wanted, every prisoner in the country was watching America's Most Wanted.
In fairness, it was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show. Mm. It was a good show. Yeah, but yeah, I think that.
Phil, what is your highest profile case ever besides being at Tupac Shakur's autopsy? What was your, I know you were there and you didn't work that, but what is your highest profile case?
It was a case of a local realtor here, Ron Rudin, was murdered by his wife, Margaret Rudin, and it gathered attention. Oh my God, they're still talking about it. 20 years. She got out of prison 2 years ago, and they're still talking about it. They're still doing stories on it. She got dubbed the Black Widow of Las Vegas, and she was the most featured female fugitive on America's Most Wanted ever.
Wait, is she around still?
Yeah, she's around, and she's looking for attorneys to help sue us for wrongful conviction.
She's playing golf in Vegas. It goes without saying, an absolute honor to have Dr. Ann Burgess, arguably the best known criminal profiler in all the world, a living legend, a professor at the nursing college at Boston College. Ann, thank you for being here. And the COE, my wife said to me, you got to ask Ann. You know, Ann is paid to consult on cases. So, Ann, if Sheriff Nanos is sitting around going, I can't take this another second, and the FBI is sitting around going, I can't take this another second, who's the most famous profiler you know? And they're sitting around the room and they're going, Ann Burgess. Well, I don't care what it costs. Get Ann Burgess in here on the next flight. And what do you do when you land on the ground in Tucson? How do you start? What would you ask? How do you start a case like this? And your final thoughts?
Yeah. I'd be on a plane. I'd get out and I'd say, let's get started. And how did they get in? I'd start right there. You can't have a crime if you can't get in and see it, and then go through the house and then obviously leave it and then see what you're able to do. And I'd be sure to get Detective Ramos to help out. We get Jeff to help out. We gather our crew and see if we couldn't get this. I'd also want to talk, of course, with the family. I think that's the other thing I wanted to say is we don't want to forget Savannah and her sister and brother and what they've had to go through for all of this. Secondary victims are very, very, we don't want to forget them and all the other victims. And I think this has done a lot for the country to think of their elders and how elders are treated and who they live with and things like that. I've had a lot of people comment on that. So I think that this has been an important case, not only as we're studying it here, but has affected other people.
Neither here nor there. By the way, Ann is the author of A Killer by Design, an expert witness, and again, one of the best known criminal profilers. I went home last night, told the COE, I said, look, true crime, it can get to you. I got to take my mind off of just everything. Let's watch a show together. She said, I have the perfect show. Love Story. It's a RFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette. And after one night of that, Ramos, I'm ready for America's Most Wanted. It was torture. Give me Dateline. But good try, COE. I fell asleep watching, so I did get a decent night's sleep. But on that note, huge thanks to the panel. Phil Ramos, three-time Officer of the Year, Las Vegas, a retired homicide detective, still rides his Harley against my mother's best wishes. Jeff Wood, retired FBI out of Boston, of course, the legend, Ann Burgess, author of A Killer by Design, an expert witness. And tomorrow night, you get the Geo Profiler. Love you, America. Love you, Boston. Love you, Vegas. And let's bring, love you, Tucson. And let's bring Nancy Guthrie home. Guests, stick around 1 second. Corey Richens trial. It's a mess. And it continues tomorrow on STS, 10:30 Eastern Time.